With our national curriculum came something that was less popular. In 1992, coming really from the United States of America, this idea of testing, scholastic aptitude tests, national tests for children at 7, 11, and 14. At 7 and 11, the tests are in English, maths, and science, at 14 in more subjects. Just to see, not for the child, but for the school, to see how the school is doing. Do you have tests in your countries at these ages? Only?
Not at this age.
Not at this age, yes. These are not qualifications. It's not like GCSE or A-level. This is just to say this school is doing well on maths. The children are reaching the right level, or this school is not doing well. The most controversial one was 7. 7 is very young to test children. And the children got the results. They were told, you're doing well, you're not doing well. Not good for children at 7 to tell them these things. And many people feel 11 is also too young. So very, very controversial. And teachers were not happy with it. If you have tests, teachers teach for the tests. They prepare the kids. Parents have extra classes outside to prepare their children. And it has what we call a very bad backwash effect, a bad impact on the teaching. 1999, the government introduced a literacy and numeracy strategy. What is literacy? Reading and writing. Literacy is reading and writing, and numeracy is numbers, working with numbers. And they said in every primary school, every day, 1 hour must be spent on literacy and 1 hour must be spent on numeracy. And they said, for the hour on literacy, 15 minutes reading a story, 15 minutes working individually, 15 minutes group work, actually telling the teachers how to spend that hour. Some people said it was good. Some people said it was too much control from the government. But the idea was to improve literacy and numeracy, to make our children better able to read and write and better able to do the mathematics they need for secondary school. Okay, let's move on now to talk about types of school. We've mentioned some already. These are all in the state sector. Grammar schools, comprehensive schools, they are in the state sector. There's another kind of school that's not in the state sector. What's it called? A public school. Yes, this is confusing. Our public schools are not public, they are private. Okay, why is that? Do you know examples of any famous public schools? Eton, yes. So an example of a public school is Eton. Where is Eton? Near here? In Windsor. Yes, thank you. In Windsor. Now, Eton was one of the first public schools. Public, it was one of the first schools. It's about 600 years old, something like that. It was the first public school because anyone could go if they had the money. And some of the schools also had scholarships for poor people. Maybe they were paid for by the church or by the king. So that's why they were called public schools, because they were the very first schools. We didn't have state education until 1870, yes. Okay, so private schools were the first schools in Britain. They were often run by the church, the Christian church, or by a king, or a rich person would set up a school. So Eton is a good example. Okay, so that's the kind of school they are. Private, independent, or public schools, fee-paying. Any idea how much it costs to go to Eton? If you go to Eton, you live there as well. What do we call the kind of school where you live? A boarding school. Eton is a boarding school, so you live there during the term time. It's a boarding school. And the fees, I don't know exactly, but I know approximately, are something like £23,000 a year, approximately. That's the average for the full boarding private schools, out of taxed income. So you have to be earning quite a lot of money to pay that for one child.